Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and catch your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, today, my friends, I want to talk about a very broad subject that I think is important, and I'm going to call this subject the quality of life is equal to the balance of your life's decisions. Now, let me repeat that again. The quality of life is equal to the balance of your life's decisions. So I want you to understand that this conversation could be had at almost any level. We could take it as far as your health and fitness goes. You know, what is the total outcome of your health and fitness? You look at your fitness right now and you're 30, 40, 50 years of age and you're 150, 200, 250, 300, 350 pounds. You couldn't run a mile if you wanted to. You barely can get up the set of stairs. Or maybe you're better off than that. Maybe you're just obese. You're unhealthy. Maybe you smoke, which makes it even worse. You obviously overeat. You probably drink some too. Maybe more than what you should. Maybe not. But the quality of these decisions, you have to sit there and look at your body right now and think about what your body really is. If I took you tomorrow and I just stopped feeding you, you would be better off. If I fed you more food than you're eating, but a better quality, in better timing, better increments, you'd be better off than what you are right now. There are so many ways that you could be more fit and live a quality of life well and above what you're living right now. But you simply don't make those choices. You simply live a quality of life based on a set of decisions that you make every day, day after day after day, for the last 10, 20, 30 years of your life. And that's who you are. And so maybe that's okay. Maybe you're comfortable with all of that. Then we go on to your relationships. And maybe you've got one divorce. Maybe you got two divorces. Maybe you're on three or third marriage, fourth marriage. Who knows? Maybe you have, you know, found the right one finally, but you, or maybe you have found a right one before, but you didn't know how to relate to them in a manner that would make a relationship work. And so your heavy-handedness in the relationship over a period of time destroyed it. Your cynicism destroyed it. It's amazing. I watch all these shows on TV about going into people's businesses and help them fix it. Now, there's actually, I think, three different ones on TV right now. One's hotel, bad hotel. Another one is, what's the guy's name? He goes in and helps people turn their businesses around. Great shows. What's interesting to me is that when you look at this, the totality of the decisions of these people running these businesses is just astronomically ineffective. Now, I tried there not to say bad as opposed to good, as opposed to smart, as opposed to stupid, as opposed to ignorant, as opposed to educated or informed. If you really wanted to make an argument, you could probably make a more aggressive argument that these people are just flat dumb as a rock with some of the stuff you see these people do in these businesses. But one of the things that sticks out is, and almost a regular agenda to any one of these shows, if you ever watch them, is that there's some type of interpersonal relationship going on. Mostly family stuff, husband and wife trying to run a business together, which is just very, very high percentage of them don't work. I think they said, came out the fact the other day, 30% of husband and wife relationship businesses don't survive the first couple of years. They just blow each other apart. Most small businesses in general don't survive, to be honest with you. You look at the relationship between the employer and the employees, and the employer is just a dominant, arrogant, overzealous. Yeah, let's go on. Throw some more adjectives on top of this person you just can't stand. And the employees hate him, won't follow him or her. By the way, it's just as many times a her as it is a him. And so this business is being destroyed, although it might have a great product. It might have a great positioning in the market. It might have been a great idea. It might have been a super invention. But it can't survive the ignorance and the ineffectiveness of the decisions made by the people that own it. You have your children and you have your family relationships, of which I've seen some super, super great mothers and fathers and mother-father-child relationships. But then there's others that are just devastatingly painful to watch, to look at, to see. And by the way, you know, being a parent myself, it's not easy. There's no manual. They didn't come wrapped with a tidy little plastic wrap manual. You have to figure out how to deal with them, and each and every one of them is a little different. So if you don't figure out you got to treat them each different, you're going to mess that up too. But the bottom line is, if you're ineffective with your children, then you're going to put them out in the world as ineffective young adults. And then they've either got to figure out to change everything they've been taught their entire life by you, because you taught them all wrong, which might lead them into drugs, alcoholism, might lead them into other failed marriages because they're copying what they've already learned, right? Or maybe they figure it out. Maybe they take years and years of therapy and read tons and tons of self-help books. Maybe they find somebody that came from a good relationship, a good marriage, and that person teaches them how a marriage should work, how a relationship should work. Although I find that unusual, because normally, two people that are both messed up find each other because it's common. In other words, I see a relationship as being this kind of broken, this type of broken individual, loving this kind of broken individual, and together they feel like they're not broken anymore, when really it's just two broken people. So maybe that doesn't work either. So you see your relationships, you see your relationships with your family, your friends, your children. Oh, friends, that's another one. That was always a hard one for me. Running 1,000 miles an hour to be successful, wanting to be a bodybuilder and a business person, you know, just had no time for outside people. There's just very little in my life until I retired and then had time, and I had time to share and give back and to be involved with people up until that time. And, you know, that's the funny thing. You say, well, you probably got that right. You probably didn't have any time. And, you know, the truth of the matter is I probably did. I just didn't have any time for anybody but me, because my ineffective way, see, I didn't want to say wrong or stupid or ignorant or dumb as a rock, but my ineffective way of dealing with the outside world, with people and friends and relatives, relations, was terrible. And so as I got older, I saw through the approach that I took and saw it didn't work. It was ineffective. Forget whether I was right or the subject or wrong. Maybe I had the right to be hateful to everybody. Maybe I had been abused enough as a person to feel sorry for myself. But that sorry feeling was ineffective as a human being. So you get down to money, and you look at people that have none, and you look at people that have a lot. And you talk about investing, and you would talk about what is an effective way to invest and an ineffective way to invest, and why do people lose their money in investing, and why do other people make money in investing? Why is it some people believe that gambling is investing and other people believe that gambling is a sin? All these different belief systems lead to decisions. And all these decisions, one after another, effectively or ineffectively, adversely or otherwise affect your financial situation. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about three rules I live with when it comes to managing your money. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for 29 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they have won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 12 of the last 12 years. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing a concept I came up with that I'm calling the quality of life is equal to the balance of your life's decisions. So when you add it all up, what kind of life are you living? What's the quality of your life? You can look back to the past, to the decisions you've made, add them all up, and they equal where you're at. So for most people, and this is an interesting point, for most people, the totality of your decisions has moved you forward, right? You're probably financially better off than you were in your 20s, now that you're 30 or 40 or 50 years old. Now, some of you, we know that's not the case. I was watching this thing the other day about Dennis Rodman. It was on 30-30, and Dennis Rodman was, made millions, wrote books, played in the NBA, has multiple NBA rings for, winning the whole championship, has done advertisements of all kinds, been in movies. This dude should be rich. And I looked him up the other day, right, while I was watching the show, just to see, well, I wonder what this guy has left of all this money he's made. And he has $500,000. Now, for those of you that have nothing, you probably look at him and go, wow, that's pretty wealthy. No, that's pretty broke, considering that on one commercial, he probably got paid $1 million. For his book, he probably got $1 million up front guarantee, plus whatever residual he's gotten off of for years. He probably made $20 to $30 million a year as a basketball player, or not a year, probably back then. I've got to remember he's back a while. Probably $20, $30, $40 million contract for 4 or 5 years. He probably made $5 or $10 million a year. This guy should have tons of money, but his decisions had led him to be almost completely broke at this point. The only reason I think he has $500,000 is because he did the 30-30 article, TV spot, and I'm sure they paid him something. That's probably the only money he has right now. It's probably why he did it, was because he needed the money. So I'm not picking on Rodman. It has nothing to do with his personal choices in life. What I'm saying is his personal choices led to where he's at. Now, he thinks he's the most famous guy in the world. He said on the show, I'm literally the second most famous person in the world right now. Most recognizable face, I think he said. And to him, that's justification. Okay, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He got what he wanted. His choices led to being second most recognizable face in the world. So what have your choices led to? Who are you? Are you the first, fifth, tenth? Or are you the completely non-recognizable face in the world? Right? So what have your choices led to? And from a very early age on, we all struggle with, I think I know everything. I'm the smartest guy in the room. But when I close my eyes, I realize I don't know anything. And I really wish I knew how all those really, really rich people got really, really rich. And so what we do is we start out working with the basic constructs that are given to us as young ladies and gentlemen. And we go to work, we get a job, and we start saving money. We place that money in a 401k or an IRA or just a savings account. And then we start looking into something called investing. And lo and behold, all of the marketing, all the advertising out there says you've got to invest in something that is a normal financial type debenture, financial type investment, stocks, bonds. Limited partnerships are pretty unusual for beginners. Oil, gas, silver, whatever. You go off on all these things, but the easiest thing to do is just put some money in a. I don't even know what they're called. That's how dumb I am about this stuff because I never do it. Mutual fund. There we go. Everybody in the world that has no knowledge of how to make money says put your money in a mutual fund. That's the safest thing to do. A no load or a small load mutual fund. And that's what you do because you know no better, right? And you go along with that and you save and you struggle and you save and you struggle and you save and you struggle. Then one day you wake up and there's a stock market crash. And if it's not a crash, it's a tumble. You know, it's a backward motion. And you look at all the hard work that you did to make that money, how much you put up with not having the stuff you want in life to save that money. And then the money's just gone. It just disappears. I remember when in October 20th, 1990, my birthday, by the way, the stock market took a major crash. And I lost a good chunk of money, a very large chunk of money. To me, a very large thing. Let's say percentage chunk of my money to you is probably nothing. But it was enough that it really irritated me because I had been working for 12 years, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week to save this money under the guise that I was going to retire at an early age. And I figured if I worked hard enough and saved long enough and invested wisely, I would get to where somebody else couldn't because I was single. I didn't care about expensive houses or cars or clothes or anything like that. So all the money I made was getting saved away. I was living on less than 50% of what I earned. I was just stashing, stashing, stashing. But when I lost this major chunk of money, I saw 12 years of my life flash before my eyes and thrown in the trash can. And it hurt quite a bit. And I thought to myself, I can't do this again. I can't work 12 more years, you know, 50, 60 hours a week just to get back to where I was at, to hope that it doesn't do it again. This concept is insane. And then you start reading self-help books and you figure out that if you continue to do what you're doing, you're going to continue to get what you're getting. And to believe that you're not going to get what you're getting is insanity. Insanity, by definition, is to do the same thing and expect to get a different result. But it's not going to happen. And so there I was, wide awake for the first time that the decisions that I had made were ineffective. Were they stupid? Hardly can you call doing what everybody else in America did, what every other pundit said was the right thing to do. Hardly could you call that stupid until you look back at it and realize it was. But at the point, it was just ineffective. It didn't work. It didn't do what it promised. It didn't do what I wanted done. And so I had to realize I needed a change. A change in theory, a change in belief, a change in practice. Right? But what kept everybody else from making that change and myself also is what I'm going to go over when we come back. I'm going to go over the theory. The belief that you have to be willing to lose money to invest. That there's absolutely no way you can invest without at some point losing some money. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. And I'm going to offer you the concept that you need to believe in the rest of your life. Rule one, you don't need to lose money. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show. We'll be right back.
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. 29 years ago, Del Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Del has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the five ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today I'm discussing a concept that I came up with called the quality of life directly equals to the balance of life decisions. And we're discussing just one aspect so far, and that's decisions of investing. And I'm reminiscing back to when I still hadn't understood that there is a possibility for you to make the decision in your life that you're never going to lose money in investing. Now, when I say that, I want you to understand that there's going to be some lunatic out there that's saying, I'm saying you never lose money in investing. No, I'm saying it is very possible for you to lose money. In fact, it's probably probable for you to lose money in almost every type of investment there is, including real estate investing, if you don't know what you're doing. But it's also possible to not lose money in real estate investing if you do know what you're doing and if you do it the correct way. So there are people all the time that lose money in real estate. There are people that lose money in other investments. In the stock market world, what they do, though, is they prepare you for that. They psychologically prepare you to lose. They tell you that there is a equal, that's not the right way to say it. I can come up with the, there is a continuum of risk to reward. And that when you're younger, you can afford to take higher risk in investments. Because if they fail you and you lose everything, you've got enough time to catch back up on your lifetime savings career, right? Once you get older, supposedly you're supposed to cut the risk because if you did take a major loss, you wouldn't be able to afford it. So the question is, why is it that you would ever take the risk? Why would you be willing to lose 10, 20, 30, 40% of your life savings even at an earlier part of your life? And the answer is you shouldn't. The reality is that there are deals out there that make 100% return. There are deals that make 20% return. There are deals that make 2%. There are deals that lose 2%. You can stick the money under your pillow and earn nothing. You can lose 20%. You can lose 100%. What financial planners know is that those deals are out there. They know they're out there. What they don't know is which ones are which. And that's why they talk you into doing something diversification. Now, Warren Buffett called this diversification, meaning that if you put $1 in every type of investment there is, you add them all up, you end up with zero because you got half winners and half losers. And your goals of financial planners end up maybe 51% winners and 49% losers. And then I come out $1 better off. But see, to me, that's a ridiculous concept. It's something that's been bred into you your whole life to believe you have to lose. Now, what I'm saying to you is something that you just cannot understand, cannot believe, and that is you don't have to lose. There is not a direct proportion return, a result from losing. In other words, the better the deal I do, the less risk there is. Not the better the deal I do, the more risk there is. That's ridiculous. The better the deal is that I do, the less risk there is. I can't possibly lose when I buy something 50 cents on the dollar that has 100, 200% cash flow. There's no risk in that deal at all. The risky deal's when I pay full market price for something, finance it at a very high leveraged amount, and still only make $100 a month. Anything in the world that would go wrong with that deal could send that deal tumbling the opposite direction. And in turn, could end up with no cash flow. And in turn, if you had no additional cash to be able to pay out of your pocket, end up with negative cash flow to the point of not being able to pay the mortgage and lose the deal. And there you have a negative consequence. But if you flip that around and you have a property that has a positive cash flow, a good chunk of positive cash flow, $300-$500 a month positive cash flow, you bought it below, and we're buying properties $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $25,000 below their market value, right? By the time we rehabbed them, before we rehabbed them, sometimes as much as 50 or 60 cents on the dollar. But, you know, even with the worst case scenario, we're still below. We own them for less than what they're really appraised for. We have positive cash flow that our tenants pay the rent. We know how to keep our houses rented constantly, so there is no bad period. There's no downtime, no vacancy. And we don't buy in areas that are going broke. We don't buy in cities, inner city areas, where Democrats control the city, because that will destroy you. Anything the Democrats get their hands on, inner city-wise, that city's going broke, which means your property's going broke. So we don't do it. We don't buy stuff in parts of the country where the laws are against the landlord. So you have all these onerous laws stopping you from being able to rent the property or to make a profit on the property. We don't do any of that. We avoid that. We know there's hurricanes and tornadoes all over the world. So we have insurance that covers that. Blow my house down. I don't care. I'll get the insurance money and I'm out free and clear. Have a fire and burn it to the ground. I don't care. I'll get the insurance money and be free and clear. I'll have made the profit up until the point it's gone. When it's gone, it's gone. Now, if I want to build it back, if it makes sense, if I can build it back on 70 or 5 or 80 cents of what the insurance company give me, and I can make a profit on putting it back, then I might put it back. But if it's in a flood zone or if it's in a hurricane zone and you're going to put it back, you got to realize you're living with the risk of that happening again, so you better have good insurance. And you better have made some money on the build back. All of which, these things we do, lead to overcompensating profits. That's a term they don't teach you in school because they don't understand it as financial planners. Overcompensating profits say that owning your own business means there are times when you make so much money that even having a bad time doesn't matter. So when the whole world in 2008 goes poof-de-poo, did I lose any of my real estate? No, I'm not over-leveraged on it. Did I find I had massive vacancy? No, because the people moving out of houses that couldn't afford to pay mortgages could now only afford to pay rent. Whether it's rental houses or whether it's rental apartments, they're paying rent. Our occupancy actually went up. In fact, when we had the giant hurricane here in Houston that flooded everybody out, our occupancies went up. Things got better for us. Well, what about the one or two or three properties that flooded? They've got flood insurance. They rebuilt everything. And by the way, they have something called loss of income insurance. So while the units are inoperable, the insurance company is paying the rent for the units. I bet you didn't know that actually works that way, did you? So you see, if you have your business aligned the right way, the likelihood of a loss is very low. Now, could there still be a loss? Sure, there could be a loss. Like the whole world could end. An atomic bomb could be dropped on us tomorrow. There could be a plague and everybody in Houston, Texas die. Yes, come on. There could be something. But the propensity for that, when the odds are set in your favor, the propensity for failure is so low that on a financial analysis, if you looked at it, it's almost minuscule. It's almost non-existent. In other words, it's there, but numerically, it's so few. Of the tens of thousands of units that you could own, one or two or three units might go down. Wow, that's a very low percentage of failure within the whole. It's almost nothing, and sure does not constitute the definition of failure. Not at all. Right? So what creates failure? I'll tell you what creates failure. Paying too much for a piece of real estate. Getting too high of an interest rate for a piece of real estate. Buying in a bad area. Having a bad owner-operator. In other words, when I run my own stuff, I'm not running my stuff into the ground. But if I give it to somebody else and they run it into the ground and I don't pay attention, or if I invest in somebody else's deal and they're bad people in and of themselves, then there's potential for loss. That doesn't mean real estate is the potential for loss. It means those people, those practices are ineffective enough to present the possibility of loss. But what I'm saying to you is you've been taught your whole life that there has to be loss. And what does that do to you? That takes you and puts you in a box you can't get out of. It's a box you've lived in your whole life, which says, if I take more risk than what I'm taking now, I'm going to fail and lose everything. Hence, you're in the box right now that could actually make you lose almost everything. The steps forward would only make you lose everything if you don't do them correctly. And so you are stuck in this box. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about why that box is not retiring you at 34 years of age like it did me. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today I'm covering a topic that I came up with called quality of life directly equals the balance of the life decisions you've made. In other words, you are an accumulation of your life decisions, and where you are is directly related to what you've done in the past. So, we talked last segment about the concept that makes most people stagnant, which is the belief that you're going to lose money. And I said I replaced that with the belief that I'm never going to lose money, that I'm going to make the right decisions, that the right decisions made will create a situation where you don't lose money in your investments. Now, again, for those of you just tuning in, it doesn't mean people can't lose money in investments. They can and do all the time. I'm saying I don't lose money in my investments because I make the right decisions. So now that we've got that off of our back and we don't make the wrong decisions, does real estate values go up and down independently of what we do? And the answer is yes, they do. So if I never have to sell, does the movement of the market ever affect me as an investor? The answer is no, not on the downside. If I don't have to get out while we're down, I can buy when we're down, and when it's up, I can get out at the top and make a profit. All the time, both down and up, making money on something called cash flow, which is really the second problem you have with your belief about money, and that is that money should be in somebody else's hands. And that just isn't true. Your biggest problem about money, the reason you can't retire, is not because you don't have money. It's because you don't have cash flow. See, you go to work and they give you money. That's why you get up and go to work every day. I have investments that give me money. That's why I deal with my investments every day. My investments are my cash flow. Your job is your cash flow. There's a big difference. So when I figured out that it didn't take very many houses, and I can just do a quick calculation for you, I made about $70,000 a year. So you take home, you know, you pay income taxes, Social Security and Medicare taxes, 401k contribution, insurance deduction, And by the time it was all done, I took home about $3,500 a month. I figured out $3,500 a month to replace was almost nothing in the investment world. You know, if you can make $500 a house, $3,500 is seven houses, and you're there. And that's it, and you're done. We had a guy on yesterday on the radio. He retired. He had 40 houses, and he's living on an island. Retired with his wife and four kids. Boom. It's not that hard to replace your income. Once you replace your income, you are retired. You will never be retired because even when you quit your job in the end and call yourself retired, you haven't replaced your income. So really, you're just unemployed. You're broke. You're living off of your life savings, but you're not retired. Retirement connotates the replacement of your earned income with passive income, right? And you don't have it. So you're still working or you're unemployed. One of the two, but you're not retired. So why do you not have cash flow? Because you've been conned into giving your cash flow to everybody else. You have been conned into believing that you should take your money and give it to a 401k company, who, by the way, they make all kinds of cash flow. How do we know they make all kinds of cash flow? Because they've got 800,000 employees and they're paying them all checks, right? They're making a profit. They're turning in profit and loss statements to the government. Their employees are turning in profit and loss statements to the government and tax returns. It's just you that aren't turning in anything. They have your money, and they're making money, and you're making no money at all. Same thing occurs with your IRA. Same thing occurs with your money with your financial planner. Your financial planner is living off of your money. You are not living off of your money. Your financial planner is living off of your money. So again, you have no cash flow. The very first thing I did was I started buying rent houses that created cash flow for me. I'll never forget. Never forget the look in my eye. I remember being in the health club business, and we sold memberships, and I think we sold some ridiculous amount of like $20,000 or $30,000 a week worth of memberships, and eventually got up to 50 or 60. It was just an ungodly amount of money people spent. Well, we got them to spend. We sold them these health club memberships. And we'd turn in this ungodly amount of money each week to our, you know, from our sales to the company. And the company would give you a check, you know, every 2 weeks for $1,500, $1,700, half the $3,500 every 2 weeks. And you just look at yourself and go, why did I just give them $200,000 this month and they gave me $3,500? I'll never forget the first time I got a renter, a tenant, and the rent was $800 a month, and I got a check for $800, and it was mine. There were no taxes to take out, no insurance, no nothing, no middleman. Of course, I had to pay the mortgage payment. And I paid the mortgage payment, so I was left over with, you know, $200 or $300. But that was $200 or $300 went to me. And because of the way the depreciation works with real estate, it was tax-free income right into my pocket. Boy, I tell you, there was nothing greater than that. I went back and bought three more. I bought one the first month. The next month, I went back and bought three more. I had four houses. I had about $900 worth of cash flow at the time, tax-free. And all of a sudden, I looked around and realized I lived in a one-bedroom condo. My payment was $400 a month. I drove a car, whatever my payment was, $200 or $300 a month. I don't know what it was. Say $200 a month. So that's $600 a month. Gas and electric, water, whatever. I had pretty much covered my cost of living with just four houses. And then I realized if I get one more house to cover me for a new car every year, and every month that money gets saved up to pay for the new car payment, if I get another one for clothes, gas, electric, food, another one for, you know, incidentals, vacation, whatever, in no time at all, I'd be in the position where I'd never have to work again. And lo and behold, 2.5 years later, at 34 years of age, I had enough cash flow. Yes, cash flow, to quit my job for the rest of my life. And remember, it wasn't for the money. It was for the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security. Sell any product or security.